this. And so let's start with the, I'll call the meeting to order and take roll call, and then we'll move on to the meeting norms and the land acknowledgement before we go to public comment. So Adrian Barnes, not here yet. Steve Borg.
Here.
Thank you. Wylene Huber.
Here.
Thank you. Jason White Ryman.
Here.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton.
Here.
Thank you, Dwayne. And Josefina Alvarado Mena, I am here. So let's go ahead and go on to the meeting norms. And I'm going to go ahead and read them today since we have a full meeting. So the board recognizes the importance of all stakeholder voices at OSA. Collaboration and community are essential to the viability of our school. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. Comment on non-agenda items may be made at the beginning of the meeting. After hearing a report, members of the public have the opportunity to offer comments in a designated time prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. Please use the raise hand function to make public comment. If you cannot use the raise hand function, you can sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so keeping the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. You do not need to wait for public comment to be called to sign up, and may sign up for public comment during the presentation of the report or any time prior. Public comment will be capped at 3 minutes per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. The board cannot respond to public comment on non-agenda items. This does not mean the board is not listening. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. We strive to be a learning community that learns from each other. We are also a community comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We recognize that all voices are not treated equally in our society, but aim to value and respect all voices equally in this forum. We may have different ideas of how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe space for a variety of opinions. Finally, we address each other in a respectful manner to foster collaboration, build community, and to model good citizenship to our students. For clarification on the recording, board members and members of the public should please state their names prior to speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio is posted on the school website. We'll do the land acknowledgement. OSA is situated on Huichin, the unceded territories of the Chocheno-speaking Lisan Ohlone peoples who have lived upon this land since the beginning of time. Indigenous peoples in California, the Americas, and around the world are still here. OSA recognizes the historic genocide and ethnic cleansing inflicted upon Indigenous peoples in California and the Americas, including their forced removal from ancestral lands and the deliberate and systemic destruction of their communities and culture. These conditions are ongoing, and Indigenous people have been fighting against cultural erasure and their sovereignty since the beginning of colonization. To this end, we as a community strive to honor the Indigenous members of our community, uplift their voices and contributions to arts and culture, center Indigenous people's worldviews in our classrooms, and support Indigenous sovereignty everywhere. This land acknowledgement is a small act in supporting Indigenous communities and centering the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion work within the Oakland School for the Arts. Solidarity with Indigenous nations can include, 1, donating time and money to Indigenous-led organizations, 2, amplifying the voices of Indigenous people leading grassroots change movements, and 3, returning the land. Special Thank you to Dr. Melissa de Jesus and Anna de Roos for helping to create the land acknowledgement. So with that, we're going to open it up for public comment. Romy, do you want to?
Yeah, I see Chris Bradburn first for public comment, and then Jeremy Taylor.
And if you could please, everyone who's not speaking, mute yourself so we can hear the speakers.
Yeah, hi. This is on behalf of COSETS as well as on behalf of myself. I just want to, appreciate that the tone of conversations and the approach to negotiating and just working with COSETS on behalf of OSA, we definitely are hearing some improvement in the tone. I'm concerned, though, about the role of teachers and staff voice in both the board meetings as well as just generally being heard. I want to elevate the teacher and staff voice a little bit more. It feels like one of the concerns I've got is in these meetings, we would really like to have more of a presence and have an opportunity to speak to the board in a way that they can be heard. Right now, our whole presence is limited to these public comments. And when there's a concern, and I understand for board rules, you can't respond, but because of that, it feels like the only way for us to get through, get our message heard, is to end up really causing a bit of a disruption. It's not our goal. It's not what we want to do. We want to be able to engage in a conversation. And we're hoping that the board will hear again our request for some kind of inclusion in those board proceedings. A regular agendized item for COSETS to make a report would be great. Some kind of relationship, whether that's a presence on the board or something, so that we can start to be involved in this conversation. Right now, from a COSATS perspective, it feels like we are shut out. It feels like our voices are not being heard. And this is a problem for us, especially as we're heading into this final stage of negotiation. I hope a final stage, but it just feels like we're not able to get our word out there without really getting into kind of a yelling and stomping our feet and such sort of approach, which is not productive or healthy for anyone. So just want to put that out there, hoping to elevate teacher voice and make sure there's space for us to be heard. Thank you.
Next for public comment, Romy. Jeremy Taylor.
Let me see if he's able to get in. I don't see Jeremy. We'll pass on him for now and move on to Andy Youngie.
I'm going to shut off my video so that I don't hang, hopefully. I just like to make a comment about transparency with information. I'd like to second what Chris has said. I believe the tone, especially, you know, in the interpersonal interactions in terms of. But I
we lost you. We lost you for a moment there. And you want to go back?
Yeah, I. Long delays and failure to respond sometimes when COSATS makes a formal request for information has happened. The expectation is 2 weeks, and we want to make sure that transparency stays paramount importance. Did everybody get that?
Yes.
I would like to, you know, of accrued sick time balances.
We're losing you. You're coming in and out. If you'd like, you can also put your comments in the chat and we can read them. We can read them out loud for the record.
Okay, sounds like we mostly have lost Andy, so let's move on to Karen Morfin, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Karen Morfin. I just want to say that we're thrilled that we finally have a JEDI coordinator at OSA, welcoming Kayla Stepner for that. But we also know that there's a lot of work to be done at OSA in regards to equity. And I want to reinforce the fact that Kayla will need all of your support and partnership. We ask that the JEDI and Equity Task Force at the board provide the expertise and your knowledge, support Kayla, and share your lived experiences. We also ask that part of the JEDI component of all the work that we're doing at OSA has board oversight, particularly from those BIPOC board members whose professional lives involve equity work. We understand that Kayla has senior leadership supervising at this point, but I want to also acknowledge the fact that the OSA leadership has had its own JEDI learning curve, and it'll take board efforts to support both the leadership and this new equity position. So I just want to make sure that they're supported and that they count with your expertise in this critical work. And I would really like some board oversight and full board participation, at least for both leadership and Kayla. And with that, I complete my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. It looks like Jeremy hasn't been able to log in yet. So let's go to Melinda, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melinda Luisa De Jesus. I have two kids at OSA. I am the current APT co-chair. I am also an ethnic studies and a gender studies educator at California College of the Arts. We on APT strongly support seating both an alumni member and a Board of Students of Color member this evening. We are excited to see this coming to a vote, and we urge each of you to please vote yes. Each of these individuals will bring a perspective and expertise to the board that will strengthen important conversations around strategy and decision-making, particularly around equity and accountability at Oakland School for the Arts. So please vote these new board members in tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Maury.
Everyone, I'm Maury Reardon, co-chair with Melinda of the APT. And just two quick points is, I believe on the agenda tonight is also some discussion of governance and bylaws, and the APT would strongly love to encourage this board to normalize the current parent terms on the board, to create equity on this board with similar terms and responsibilities and roles. And that we just want to point out that the current parents of current students have tremendously added to the skill base and the picking up work on this board. So we hope that you'll recognize them in that way. The second quick issue is related to COVID-19. And again, we just want to, we know that there's been a supply of rapid tests, which is great. But we would like to see a more kind of permanent regular testing at OSA, and want to note that last night the OUSD board voted to mandate vaccinations for all kids 12 and over. So we would love to hear if OSA is going to be following that policy and encouraging you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Maury. Next up is Brooke.
Hello, my name is Brooke Cardellano, and I am a mother of a seventh grader at OSA, and I am also a co-secretary on the board for the APT. I just wanted to state my support for COSACs and for more transparency from the board regarding contract negotiations. I am deeply concerned and disappointed that an agreement on a contract has not been reached and that it appears teachers aren't feeling heard by the board. Without our teachers, there would be no OSA, and they deserve safety and security that a fair contract would provide. This contract should be a priority for the APT board. Thank you.
Thank you, Brooke. Up next is Sandra.
Hi, my name is Sandra Schleimer. I'm a Spanish teacher at OSA. I would like to speak about a COVID-related issue that's very time-sensitive. So at OSA, the teachers have 6 sick days a year. And once those are taken, we lose a percentage of our salary. And so I always figure things out, what would this mean for me? So my seventh sick day would cost me more than $300. So several teachers already have been home with COVID-related symptoms, and in order to get a negative test result in, they're usually out for a couple of days. We're also asked to stay home with cold symptoms, even if we test negatively for COVID, just to make sure. And a full quarantine is 10 days. That would mean teachers would have to take 4 more days than they have as sick days. So me, it would cost me $1,200 to do a full quarantine. I would financially not be able to do that. This is time sensitive because until September 30th, the government is paying for additional COVID-related sick days for teachers. And September 30th is next Thursday. So this runs out in a week, and it was brought to the board in August. Other schools are providing for additional COVID-related sick leave for teachers. We'd like to ask the board to do the same. We did not see this issue on the agenda, and it is really, really time sensitive. So we hope that you can add this item to the end agenda for tonight and take action right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Talia?
Hi, everyone. My name is Talia Winningham. I'm a 10th grade social studies teacher at OSA, and I also want to speak up in favor of sick time for teachers. Clearly, the COVID-19 crisis is like we're still living in an unprecedented time in which being sick and being out for being sick is a measure of safety, both for ourselves and for our students. And given the increased likelihood of teachers being out and the necessity to do that to protect our safety, we also need to be able to protect our pay in relation to our sick days. And so I stand with COSATS, with Sander, with the APT, and everyone to request increased sick time so we don't have to lose any money from our already very tight paychecks and budgets in order to keep ourselves and our students safe.
Thank you, Talia. Let me read Andy's comments so we have them in the record. So from Andrew Youngie, sorry, everyone, my old computer does not work well with Zoom. I just wanted to reinforce the idea of transparency of information. There continues to be delays in receiving requested information when the expectation is 2 weeks maximum. For example, we are still waiting to find out the status of accrued sick balances that Lori said she was tracking, but no one can seem to find. This has earned credits towards retirement that cannot be allowed to be lost. Thank you for those comments. So we are gonna now move to our agenda. We will ask that the administration give us a basic answer on the sick leave question that came up. I believe we can do that in the ED's report. And if we cannot answer the questions this evening, then we will ask that the administration respond to the issue of COVID sick leave before the deadline. So everybody has clarity about what that will look like going forward. So let's transition now to the consent agenda. We have 3 things on the consent agenda. We have meeting minutes from 2 meetings. We also have a resolution regarding our ability to continue to have board meetings done remotely. And then we have the resolution related to the CONAP approval. So I am asking for a motion to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have a second? Is that you, second. Dwayne? Thank you, yes. Dwayne. Any discussion? So seeing that there is no discussion,
Josefina.
Yes.
Sorry, I was slow to unmute. There is something on the Con app. Let me pull it up.
Okay.
There's just a mention to another school. It's in it's in the section for Title III. So
okay.
I would just recommend that we approve this subject to changing that other school's name to ours.
Okay. Romy, do you see the note that Adrian is referring to?
I'm pulling it up. I can project that for everyone so we can just be clear. Adrian, can you tell me which part of everyone's?
Yeah, so it's in both Title III sections. So under current information, it says Title I, Title II, and then Title III.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see there's a different name there.
The name is Children's Community Charter School.
Mm-hmm. So it's in two places in both of the Title III sections.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. So is that an amended motion pending correction?
Adrian, are you making that amendment to the motion?
Sure. Am I allowed to? I thought yes. The original. Okay. Then yes, I make that amendment.
Okay. So we'll need a new second.
I'll second the amendment.
Thank you, Dwayne. Okay. So let's take the roll call vote. Adrian Barnes.
Yes.
Thank you. Steve Borg.
Yes.
Thank you. Wylene Huber.
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Yes.
Thank you. And Dwayne Walton.
Yes.
Yes. And I will also vote yes. So the consent agenda passes unanimously. And we will now move to the next item on the agenda, which is an update on board engagement and committees. We will have a vote and we will have public comment before we have our board discussion and then our board vote. First thing I wanted to announce is that Jonathan Dharmapalan has resigned from the board of OSA. We thank Jonathan for his service, but we also accept his resignation. And second item in this update is that we have received really strong responses from all the board members on their availability and willingness to engage with different segments of the OSA community. So board members have responded to a survey about their availability and interest in board office hours and in attending and participating in a variety of different meetings. So we will have, beginning in October, board office hours. We will also have board members that will be attending staff meetings and also APT meetings. So we will get out a schedule for the larger community so that people can plug in to these different meetings and conversations, but I wanted to share that update with the larger community. We will be looking at our board committees now. So if I will share my screen so we can look at the latest draft of the board committees, and we can make any changes. And then I will ask for a motion to accept the committee assignments. So there we go. And I can try to make it a little bit bigger. So for the 21-22 school year, we have our executive committee. Those are the officers for the board, the chair, the treasurer, the vice chair, and the secretary. We had previously had the pillar committees, and these were tied to the old strategic plan. We're not sure we need those committees to continue, so they're highlighted now and suspended, I would say, with the exception of the equity committee. The equity committee has it's a life of its own now. And so the equity committee would be an ongoing committee of the board. We have advancement committee, and we have finance and facilities committee with Adrian as the interim chair of that committee. We have the governance committee with Steve as the chair, and then you see the board membership, and then we have the audit committee, which we actually still need to seat. So are there any changes that we need to make to these committees?
Just
if there are no changes, at this time, then we will go ahead and move to the public comment, and then I can put this back up on the screen before we vote. So I don't see any changes or additions to this at the moment. So I will stop sharing so we can see people as they make the public comment. And the last update in this agenda item is that I did receive a recommendation from one of the board members that we consider doing the closed session items at the top of the agenda every month, and then we move to the open agenda items after the closed session items. So I will be reaching out to the other board members to see if this is a change that people are interested in making, but wanted to share that with the community before making that kind of a change. So we will open up to public comment and then back to board discussion. And I see that Chris Bradburn has signed up for public comment. So Chris, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. I think this is in regarding to the committees you just showed, right? Wanted to throw it out there that if it allows in the bylaws for there to be non-board member participation on these committees, this seems like a great opportunity to raise up that teacher voice that I was suggesting. I know there's some conflict of interest concerns about teachers being on the board and no significant change to the bylaws. So just throwing it out there, a great place for teachers and staff to be included in important decision-making processes.
Thank you for that. Maury?
Yeah, I think I'm in sync with Chris because I was just going to say, I am curious as to the bylaws if there are non-board member seats on committees. I think for stakeholders, but also there may be community members with expertise in things like finance or other things, and they're not ready to make a full commitment to a board, but they might be great committee members. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And I wanted to clarify for everyone that committee meetings are all also public meetings. Any other public comment? Okay, let's bring it back to board discussion. Any board questions, discussions about the board engagement and committee assignments?
I want to ask Adrian or if anybody else knows. My understanding is that traditionally the finance committee has also served as the audit committee. Is that accurate? Because they only meet once a year, is my
recollection. Oh, go ahead, Adrian.
Oh, I was just going to say that I thought that audit committee should be separate from finance committee.
The opposite, I understand.
Okay, got it.
Other board members? No other board comments? Okay, then go ahead, Dwayne.
I'm just going to ask, do we need to make a motion or do we just go right into vote?
We need to make a motion to accept the committee assignments.
That's what I was going to do. Okay, I motion that we accept the committee assignments as is.
Thank you, Dwayne. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Jason. Board discussion on the motion. No? Okay, so let's do the roll call vote again. Adrian Barnes?
Yes.
Thank you. Steve Borg?
Yes.
Thank you. Wylene Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Yes, and I also vote yes. So I'm gonna now turn it over to Steve, and he's going to give the presentation from the Governance Committee.
Thank you, Josefina. The Governance Committee met and talked about a number of things. We were fortunate to have legal counsel with us, and I'll report on three areas. First of all, there was a question around the status of the current parent representatives on the board, just in the way of background. The board elected the designated parent representatives as general representatives with the expressed intent to revise the bylaws to include a parent representative designation and eventually move these newly elected board members to that designation. And at the time, the intent was that parent representatives would serve for 1 year. We have a different construct now and understanding. And so we discussed with legal counsel status and how we move forward. The bylaws were revised to create this designation of general board representative and parent board representative, and also address a bunch of inconsistencies and irregularities in the bylaws. And the intent was to bring that to the board in May of 2020, but that did not occur. So our action item with council was that since the three parent reps have been operating under the current bylaws for over a year, there is no need or no for action to reconcile the board vote that was taken with the meeting minutes or the meeting recording, regardless of the intent. That intent is not binding. So the three individuals who were elected with the intent to be parent reps are general reps. We do not need to take any action to change that. This also means that the new board chair, Josefina, has been elected for a 3-year term, and the committee accepted that the position on those items. The second discussion point that I want to report on is board composition. And we discussed the following positions and are bringing these to the board for, this is our recommendation to the board. The first is alumni representative, that we elect one representative as the alumni rep. The student of color ex officio representative, that we also elect one representative. And this representative will serve in the same capacity as the student ex officio representative. In terms of parent representatives, this requires further discussion, and I'll explain that in a moment. And then in terms of faculty staff representatives on the board, there are some unique conflict of interest restrictions associated with employees on the board. And so the governance committee will continue to explore this with council. Our action items specifically in terms of board composition are, one, the governance committee is recommending that a board seat be designated for alumni representative and a board seat be designated for a student of color representative ex officio at this meeting. The board chair has received nominations for alumni representative, but not a student of color ex officio representative. And the board chair will bring candidates forward for election by the board at our October meeting. The second recommendation and action item we're bringing to the board is that we need to meet with the APT to readdress parent representatives. What are the parameters? What are the terms? There seems to be some differences of recall in terms of what was discussed and agreed. So this is an opportunity to set that straight. And then finally, we would like to meet with faculty and staff representatives to discuss board representation and also to continue our discussions with legal counsel. The third area is the bylaws. The governance committee will need to update the bylaws to reflect the new board composition changes. And the intent is to bring those changes to the board.
It's like a parents like meeting of the board of.
Our intent is to bring that to the board at our January 22 meeting. That completes our report, Josefina.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you to the governance committee for moving through, you know, this very substantive discussion. So let's go to public comment, and then we'll come back to board discussion, and then we can entertain a motion. So we have Karen Morfin for public comment, Leon Jones, Chris Bradburn, in that order.
Hi again, my name is Karen Morfin. I want to first thank you for the report, and I am glad that it was recognized that all the current seats are general seats voted as such, as we had previously brought up to this board's attention, which brings the
question as to our charter renewal indicates that there has to be parent representatives. And since it has been confirmed that these are all general seats, I would really like to invite the board to meet with the APT as soon as possible to find the solution and be in compliance with our charter renewal. Thank you.
Thank you. Leon Jones.
Hello, everyone. This is Leon Jones for the record. Thank you, Steve, so much for that presentation. As someone that has served as a student representative ex officio, I'm just super excited to have this up for board consideration for alumni representation, for the students of color representation, and even more with faculty and parents as well. It just really, truly shows the work of equity and representation the board is trying to have. So thank you so much, Steve, for the presentation. And I just really hope the board can vote yes with these revisions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Chris Bradburn?
Yes, I just want to appreciate the presentation and say that COSATS welcomes the conversation with the governance board. I also want to raise up the voice of the non-COSATS classified staff and I hope that they are also, someone reaches out to them as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So board discussion and our motion.
I just really want to thank Steve for chairing the meeting, and we just went through a remarkable number of items and came to consensus in a really speedy meeting. So I want to appreciate all the work that went into making that happen. And I'm excited to support all of these recommendations. Should I make a motion? Can I make a motion?
Just one, I have one other comment, Josefina, is that, and we don't necessarily need to do it at this meeting, but soon thereafter, we should designate who is going to be doing the outreach to APT, who is going to be doing the outreach to faculty and staff, and try and make that time bound.
Yes, I will. I'm willing to do that, both of those things. So, and I will reach out to both groups before our next board meeting. So hopefully we can have a conversation before our October board meeting. So do we have a motion?
I move to approve adding the alumni seat and the student of color ex officio seat.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Jason. Discussion on the motion. Okay, hearing that there is none, let's go ahead and do a roll call vote. So, Adrian Barnes.
Do you not hear me? Yes.
No, could not hear. Yes. Okay, thank you. You voted yes. Steve Borg.
Yes.
Thank you. Wyling Huber.
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you, Dwayne. And I also vote yes. So unanimously approved by the board. Great work, everybody. So let's move on to our next agenda item. And that is a report from the executive director. Lisa, you are on.
Great. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I was asked to respond to Andy's question, so I thought I would do that very quickly. Andy, I would love to have just a little time to review your question and then get right back to you. Okay, so I don't have an answer for you right at this moment, but I will certainly look into it in a timely fashion. Okay, so good evening, everyone. We can go to the next slide, please. We have three reports for you tonight. Next slide. So before I jump into the slides, I wanted to let you know that a promising meeting with the mayor took place where we were asking for some rent forgiveness and or reduction in rent. And we've had a number of interesting conversations with regards to facilities that include the vacant lot across the street and how that can possibly be earmarked for OSA. I wanted to share, jumping into this slide, the following. We've raised $195,000 to date. This is nearly 20% of our way up to our goal of $1 million this year for the Office of Advancement. And we're about $50,000 ahead of where we were last year at this time. So you can catch that in the fourth column. We haven't even done the kickoff for the annual campaign. I'll talk about that in a moment, but there's $87,000 earmarked for that already. Next slide, please. There's been a lot of foot traffic, a lot of work that we've been doing. $67,000 in grants we're waiting to hear back from that have been sent out. And we have about 73,000 more that will be submitted by the end of October. Val Sally is a full-time grant writer at this point, and she is really doing a fantastic job looking for the grants. Crystal and Vanessa put together and produced a fundraising training to faculty in three sessions. This was done for the arts, the middle school, and the high school. And we got quite positive responses from staff. In collaboration with APT, they will be offering a similar training for parents on October 6th from 6:30 to 8 via Zoom. And we really would like to invite everyone to be on the lookout for the invitation. This will be sent out through Constella. And then of course, we're wanting to bring the whole community together in this special time of need, especially in the financial constraints that we are seeing. And volunteer opportunities where parents can support the Office of Advancement have been posted on the web. These include committees like Marketing Committee, which has already begun, a Leadership Circle Fundraising Committee, as well as flexible opportunities to support the annual fund as an ambassador throughout the year. The URL, where you can learn more about how to sign up, is going to be posted in the chat right about now. Okay, next slide. And this is the topic of our annual fund this year. Creativity takes courage. We all had a big vote on this as a staff. And I want to thank Crystal. She's done an incredible job really facilitating all the moving pieces around this. Please mark your calendars for Thursday, October 21st at 6. This will all be online. And much like last year, we're going to be celebrating our students' artwork and kicking off our annual fund campaign. We're going to have this co-hosted by the lovely Dr. Dolores Thompson and the dashing Mr. Kev Choice, and it will be DJed by APNE. To learn more and RSVP, please visit the link in the chat. That one's getting dropped in the chat as well. Also in the chat, we're posting a flyer, and you can share this with your network through email and social media. Please spread the word. We want to encourage everyone to support OSA. We'd love to bring in a lot of dollars in this event. It was quite successful last year, and we want to meet the mark again this year as well. Next slide. That concludes my advancement report tonight.
Thank you, Lisa. Let's go to public comment before we come back to the board for discussion. Do we have any public comment? Andrew, do you want me to read your public comment into the record? Yes, okay. This is from Andrew Youngie. I would like to mention that OSA is currently in the position of rebuilding trust with their community. The parents, students, teachers, and staff of OSA, transparency and action, not simply words, are what will be necessary to address and hopefully heal from the trauma that those of us in the service of this school have experienced throughout the years. Thank you for your comment. Anybody else on public comment? Okay, board questions or discussion about the executive director's report? Okay, seeing that there are none, thank you, Lisa, for your report. Please, everybody, mark your calendars for October the 21st. I will also be following up with all the board members regarding board fundraising. So look out for a call from me on that front. So thank you again. Let's go to the next item, which is the principal's report.
Everybody, I'm having a little bit of internet issues, so I apologize if it cuts out, but I'm going to keep things moving quickly. I appreciate how we've been keeping a schedule here. So just a couple quick updates. Last time when I presented, we had some questions and concerns come up about COVID, and a lot has happened since. So I want to provide a general update. And connected to that is the in-person surveys that I've given to students and to parents and to teachers. And I just want to share like kind of an overview of that info. Next slide, please. But before I do that, I would like to introduce you to our new student body president, Daz Hiron, who I met with today, and he wanted me to express to you all that he's excited to join these meetings. He could not today, and he did not like the photo he had in PowerSchool, so we took one in my office and quickly got a new photo of him, and he insisted on the rainbow font up top, and he's really, they are charged right now. This leadership group is charged, and I think there's a lot of power in there. I look forward to seeing their presence in these meetings and seeing what they do for the school this year. Next slide, please. Okay, so week 1 through 5, we're in week 6 right now. So this is data up through the end of last week. We had 1 total confirmed student positive case. We had 2 total confirmed faculty cases. We had 77 students sent home with symptoms, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute, and 14 total faculty sent home with symptoms. Next slide, please. Just some new developments. We now have the video update. One of the requests made by APT in their letter that came up at the last board meeting, we agree that this is more accessible, and as me and Mr. Roos were discussing, brings more humanity into the report. And so starting last week, she began doing that. The COVID updates are being posted weekly on the website. I think the video is now linked. It wasn't a couple days ago, but we were trying to get it up there. So our practice moving forward is going to be to do that. We had our first vaccination clinic yesterday, and this was not just for OSA students, but for anyone in the community. That includes neighboring businesses and essentially anyone who wanted to show up. Dose 2 is going to be on October 13th. We were struggling to get the testing kits on site. First of all, they're hard to find, to be able to go to Walgreens, go to Amazon, wherever you need to go. And they're also expensive. We were able to get 1,000 kits brought to the school free of charge. So now we have more than what we need, and totally sufficient for all the tests that we need to be doing. OSA partnered with the APT on the COVID town hall recently. I was there in attendance. It was great. Mr. Roos and Mr. King were the OSA employees that participated, and Karen Morfin moderated it. It was beautifully done and very helpful. The recording is up on Constella. And back to all the people that get sent home with symptoms, we're preparing for flu season. When someone shows symptoms and you need to send them home, they're often not COVID. It's not COVID, but it's a related symptom. We expect this to really increase with flu season as cold and flus come up. It's just gonna be a lot of work on the part of the faculty to be kind of managing all of this. So I just wanna share that with you. Next slide, please. So the surveys, I partnered with Rachel Estrella, who was awesome. Her and I both really enjoy kind of digging into the numbers and setting up the survey and everything. And this is the beginning of what's going to be a much longer partnership in terms of working directly with APT on the data gathering. I think Rachel and I work really well together, so I'm looking forward to it. We heard back from 574 students, 423 parents and guardians, and 50 teachers. And I'm going to give you a quick overview of what we heard back here now. This is daily experience. I know it's not COVID specific, but I think it's important. This is academics, arts, and social experience. We would hope to see as much blue and red as humanly possible here. Not every high school, middle school kid loves academics on a daily basis, but nonetheless, like, it's a positive experience for our students overall. Next slide, please. Vaccination status is almost what the 18.8% of not vaccinated is our sixth grade class, plus another probably 20 to 30 students. And there are people at this point who are not vaccinated, who are eligible for. And the question came up about mandating vaccinations, which would, you know, have to happen through board approval. The vast majority of our people eligible are vaccinated, but do know that there is a small portion of the school population that, though eligible, are not interested in being vaccinated. Next slide, please. health and safety, confidence. One would be totally not confident with health and safety. Four would be fully confident. We're seeing about 75% of the people on the kind of positive end here. I intentionally left a neutral out of these, as I did want to hear specifically, like, if people are leaning towards the side of being confident with the protocols or not confident. Next slide, please. This is managing schoolwork. The student, it's actually very similar to the confidence in the health and safety. The students are feeling like they can manage it. And, you know, there was a lot of unknowns coming into the year. We put a lot of supports in place and kind of minimized homework and all that kind of stuff. But 80% of our students, roughly speaking, are feeling like they're, you know, on top of their schoolwork. Parents, same categories apply. This is their interpretation of how their students' daily experience is. I like to see if parents and students are in tune when it comes to describing what students are experiencing. And in this case, they are. It was very reflective of what the students reported. Next slide, please. This is the parents' confidence with OSA's health and safety protocols. Similar, slightly higher than what the student said, but somewhere around 78% are putting it in the confident or very confident. And then a similar number of people in the categories of concern. Next slide. This is managing schoolwork, also very similar to what the students reported. This is important, as I have my kid doing her math homework next to me right now. It's important to hear the parents' experience at home and what they're seeing. And it's very similar. The workload, which was very carefully kind of crafted by our teachers, it seems to have kind of hit that mark and be something that's manageable. So teachers, questions were a little different for the teachers. This is comfortability teaching in person. We're seeing about 75% once again in the comfortable or very comfortable. And then we're seeing, you know, there was one person extremely uncomfortable, and then about a quarter of our teachers just, you know, in that category of slightly uncomfortable. This is the daily experience of our teachers. Positive overall, the purple and the green are the positive and very positive. There's quite a few neutrals, and one negative did creep in there. So morale is high, despite how exhausting this is for all of us. So that was kind of foreshadowing there. Ability to manage job responsibilities. To only see one out of 50 teachers say they are fully on top of their current ability to manage job responsibilities is concerning. It's not unexpected. I mean, the amount of responsibility that is placed on teachers right now is far beyond what is already, you know, a job that demands much more than a lot of us are able to endure. And COVID just made it all the more complicated, and having to deal with our own stresses, our own personal lives on top of it. So this is something that I'm looking closely at. You know, the majority are still saying they're able to manage their responsibilities, but to see 8 be completely swamped and 11 be at least somewhat swamped is concerning. And that's it.
So public comment first, and then we'll come back to the board discussion. Maury?
Hi, thank you for that, Mike. I think I just had a few questions, and one is, for the board, obviously it's such new news about the OUSD vote, but it would be great for the family community to be kept abreast of any conversations you're having on that. And then two things for Mike is curious if students know if it's been shared widely with students about the test availability at school, or if they're more used for kids that are presenting symptoms. And then the second test is, I'm trying to remember on the student survey, if there was a question related to mental health and well-being, because we've heard from kids that, you know, they're having a hard time in this. So I think those are my questions, and thank you.
Yeah. My understanding is that it is widely known, though I can confirm that. And if not, we can easily make it widely known. Students on a daily basis are asking any of us that are in possession of these tests if they could have access to it. But let me confirm that and just take care of it if it isn't like broadly advertised. And then no, there was not a specific question to mental health on that survey.
Any other public comment? Okay, well, let's bring it back then for the board discussion, questions, comments. Well, thank you for bringing the presentation forward. I think the availability of the testing is a big step forward. I'm glad to see that. I also think it would be important to, you know, maybe in the next round of surveying, survey specifically around mental health. There is, you know, there are just huge increases in terms of mental health needs across the age continuum, but, you know, particularly around youth. So that would be great, but I would say thank you for the report.
You're very welcome.
Okay, so let's move along on our agenda. Now we're at the finance report and we're going to turn it over to Kimberly.
Hello, everyone. We're gonna turn it over to Susan. She's gonna lead our report tonight. Thank
you
all.
Thank you.
Perfect. And I think, do we want to start with the unaudited actuals or the budget update? Either one is okay with me.
I think unaudited actuals, we said we would go to first. Okay. I believe it's the slide before this one.
Perfect. Oh, maybe the slide after. There we go. And I'll share my screen in a moment. But we have submitted the unaudited actuals. And just as a reminder, these are your financial statements that summarize all of your financial data from the prior year. So July 1 through June 30 of last year. They're produced by the school and then reviewed by the board, obviously, and then sent to your authorizer, OUSD, who sends them on to the CDE. And then these are the reports that are actually audited by your independent third-party auditor, where any changes are made if necessary. So the finance committee did meet, we reviewed the report, and the finance committee did approve the unaudited actuals. So I thought I'd share my screen, kind of walk you through them and see if anybody has any questions. A couple things we just wanted to point out. So let's see. So I am not able to share yet.
Romy, I think you may need to make her a co-host.
You should be able to try now, please, Susan.
There we go. Okay, thank you. All right, so I have, can everybody see that okay? Yes, okay. So these are your unaudited actuals, and like I just described. So obviously here we have all of your revenue for the year, totaling $12,310,000. I did want to point out that it does include your PPP forgiveness. So that's what this $1.4 million is here. So we recognized it last year because it was, the loan was forgiven. So then on the expense side, and let me know if you want to go through anything more specifically, but on the expense side, you have your certificated salaries, non-certificated salaries, all of your employee benefits here, total books and supplies. One thing I did want to point out is with your rent. So when we close your books for the year, we recognize the entire rent paid to the Fox. So that's $940,500. The school doesn't actually pay that rent. That's paid through your billboards, but we have to recognize the full expense. So wanted to point that out. Also, this is the last year that the Fox rent will be paid in full by the billboards. So that will shift again a little bit for this year, and part of that expense will be paid directly. This 196, 193, because it's red and it kind of jumps out, that's where we recognized your part of your COVID funding, your CRF funds. So we were able to just, they allowed us to just say, yes, those were used for COVID related expenses. And so this is our way of bringing it in and zeroing it right back out. So that's why that's a zero there. That's what that looks like. So total expenses last year, $11,161,798, leaving an excess, so a surplus of $1.1 million. And just keep in mind that that would have been higher if we didn't recognize the Fox rent. So you actually paid out less expenses than that. So that number would actually, you know, on paper would be a little bit higher than that. So this 2.3 million here, this is the STRS restatement. So the way we recognize the STRS payment, and this is the payment in full, but we didn't have to show it as an expense in any current, in any year. So we didn't show it as an expense in last year. Rather, it's just a restatement of your fund balance. So really what that did is it takes it from this fund balance, I don't know if you can see that 8.14 to the 6965. So in our books, we would recognize it here as a restatement, but the CDE and OUSD wanted us to show it here as an other source, so as an other expense. So if you were to just look at your unaudited actuals this year, it looks like you ended the year with a deficit of 1.2 million because of this restatement. Not actually true. Your books will show it just as a restatement from in your ending fund balance. Hope that makes sense. So your ending fund balance is this, it, at the end of the year was $6,965,000. And then down below, we break out the components of your ending fund balance, both between unrestricted and restricted, to come with your net position again down here at the 6.9.
I think, Susan, it's important to note just about that ending fund balance, that that is not liquid cash that the school has access to. It takes into account like our assets, our equipment, and things like that. Another huge component of that is the billboard agreement. So even though it doesn't cover the rent in its entirety, the pledge agreement amount is a part of that $6 million. So right, the bottom line agreement that we still get from the revenue to cover us through the remainder of the agreement until 2025, that agreement is included in that $6 million. So I just want to make sure the board, community, you know, everyone understands that we don't, it would be a great day, but we don't have access to $6 million liquid cash. One day, just not this, in this report, it's not $6 million liquid cash.
That's a good point. And this 3.4, I believe that is the billboard, the billboard revenue there. It's a receivable. Any other questions? The finalized report has been sent to OUSD.
Susan, yes. I think Jason has a question.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just as a point of clarification, I think that's an excellent point that you and Kimberly made in terms of what the actual cash reserves are. Mm-hmm. I don't see, do you know what the actual liquid reserve, the actual liquid assets are that we have?
So at
that's the a 2 point.
Oh. Yeah. So here, this was your cash in the bank on June 30th. It was 2.24. This right here is your reserve account. This is your investment account here, this 1.17.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, any other questions?
I don't see any. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think I was saying just that the report has been sent and reviewed and approved by OUSD. So we just need board approval, so we know that, you know, the board's approved it as well.
So let's go to public comment before we have board discussion and then ask for the motion for approval. So do we have any public comment? And I probably need you to stop sharing your screen. So
oh, sure.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Maury, did you have public comment here?
No, that was from previously. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so there's no public comment, board discussion on the unaudited financials.
I just wanted to say thank you to Susan and Kimberly and the team. We had some specific asks for you in the home stretch there. And you made sure that everything was done right. So thank you for doing that and for getting it in on our extended deadline.
Thank you. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. So do we have a motion to accept the unaudited financials, unaudited actuals?
I saw motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. So motion by Jason, second by Adrian. Any board discussion? No? Okay, we'll take the roll call vote. So Adrian Barnes.
Yes.
Thank you. Steve Borg.
Yes.
Thank you. Wai-Ling Huber.
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Yes.
Thank you. And Dwayne Walton.
Yes.
Thank you. And I will also vote yes. So those are accepted. So continue.
Perfect. So I think if you go to the next slide, we've got a budget summary and a few topics we want to talk about. Please. Thanks, David. Move this out of the way here. Okay, so you can see here we've got the summary of the 2021 board adopted budget with a surplus of $14,579. You see the 2021 revised budget, and the main change, the most significant change was in your LCFF revenue. We reduced your enrollment and ADA data to really reflect the way your enrollment is currently. So we had originally projected 820 enrolled, and now we've reduced the budget to 800 enrolled at 94% attendance rate. So that was the main shift in the $7,285,000. So in a little bit of good news, your allocation for your in-person learning was increased by almost $40,000. So some schools didn't actually open, so then the state went and reassessed everybody's allocations. And so you are getting an additional bit of money for your in-person learning. We did bring in your 2021 unspent. So you had received the first half of your expanded learning grant and your in-person instruction grant last school year. We only recognized what you spent. So the rest of that was deferred. And I think it was about $122,000. So we've now brought that back into your 21-22 budget to be spent this year. So we did have that increase. This update also includes 4 months of rent at the VA, so the new space rental, and then the increased housekeeping, janitorial, alarm, security to go along with that space. So I think that was about $15,000 that was added as well. And we did increase your state revenue for the SB 740 reimbursement on that space. So that adjustment was made in there also. So any anticipated shifts right now? I know we've talked a little bit about all of the new funding programs that were adopted with the budget. We're still waiting for details on most of them. In fact, we have a meeting next week with your finance team, basically to go through each and every one of them and determine some of them you'll get automatically, a lot of them you have to opt into, and there's some that just don't apply. So we're going to take them one by one and make that determination so we know, but we haven't added any of that into this current projection. So we don't anticipate any other major shifts that we know of right now. So hopefully we don't have any major changes. So based on this budget, I'll just tell you that current cash flow is projecting an ending cash balance this year of like $1.4 million if all goes as planned. This does include the initial $500,000 payment to STRS. And then we've broken the balance out to, I think, $35,000 a month, because as we were looking at everything kind of currently going on and the reduced enrollment and LCFF revenue, made the determination, at least for now, to break the remainder of those payments out over a period of time. So I think we built in about $35,000 a month while we explore, I know you're exploring the appeal process on the STRS interest. So that's kind of what we've done at this point. Kimberly, anything?
No, I was just gonna say what you mentioned is supposed to be a bullet point, but on my, what I'm seeing is it just says currently. So I'm not sure if, I think that the last point that you made with that exact number for the cash flow mm-hmm. position is missing. I don't know if it's just on my screen, but I only see two bullet points.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have the presentation up on my other screen and it's there, but it's not
okay. Here. It's not showing.
Okay. It's not showing. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Yeah. Thanks for that, Kimberly.
Okay. So, yeah, it just basically focuses on cash flow and what Susan just mentioned about STIRS. We initially, in the last meeting, after looking at our information, felt like we would maybe be in a position to take care of that in its entirety. But given the reduction of revenue for LCFF, and other budgetary, like revenue shifts, that being the major piece, we're trying to explore all options with the STIRS. And so we wanted to bring it back to the board to let them know about that change. And I'm not sure if we have to re-vote on that because it was voted last time. Not exactly sure the Brown Act protocols or how that works, but we just wanted to bring it back to the board to let you guys know that we are stretching it out until we exhaust the appeal process with the STIRS.
I'm looking at the minutes from that meeting and it says that there was a motion to make a payment to avoid continued accrual of interest. So I was thinking we needed another vote as well, but based on those minutes, I would say no, unless someone disagrees.
I would agree with that, since we were not specific, more specific in that motion that was approved. So I do not think we need another board vote, but if anybody else has a comment on this. No. Okay, so let's go to public comment and then we'll come back to board discussion on the budget revisions. Let's see, do we have any public comment? Sandra Schleimer, do you want to make that comment for the record?
Yeah, sure. I was wondering if there's any relationship between the time that STIRS is being paid back from the school and at what time the individual teacher retirement accounts would actually be fixed and mistakes would be taken care of.
I can jump in and answer. So the accounts have already been fixed from the 2016-18 correction that we needed that needed to be made. What we found out through kind of, people asking about looking into their accounts is that if you log into your account, the STIRS records are updated annually if there's a catch-up. And so for some people, when you log into the account, because this catch-up was posted after a certain date, the catch-up will not reflect in the individual account. But if you call into the hotline, they will be able to tell you that your account does reflect the current amount. And so unfortunately, that's not something on our end that we can do, but we have fixed the amount. Everyone from the original big correction has been caught up. Everyone has been corrected. All of that has already been taken care of. It just takes time for it to reflect in your personal account. But yes, everything with that has been corrected.
Any other public comment on this? Okay, so let's bring it back to board questions, comments, discussion. Okay, so I don't see anybody with comments or questions. So we're gonna go ahead and accept this report and we will, I'm sorry, I have a large dog and she's very upset at the moment. At the wrong time when my mic is live. So my apologies. So we're going to close this item. We will recess to closed session as we are assigned to our rooms. I just want to thank the staff, the teachers, leadership, and the families for supporting the return to in-person. We've made it to this far, but only because of all of your efforts. So I really want to recognize that. We will be back from closed session and announce any actionable items that we can upon our return. Thank you, everybody.
Board members, I'm sending you one at a time.
Thank you, Romy.
Mike, are you going in?
I'm waiting.
All right. I never knew who's supposed to go in.
Our close. Sorry, we do not have any action to report at this time. Thank you all for attending the meeting, and we will be in touch soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Josefina, for the tight meeting.
Thank you. Thank you all. Bye-bye. Thank you.